This is The Think Tank, talking about the major political, economic, and social issues of the week. With Dr. Mike O'Neill and hosted by Mike Russell. KTAR News on 92.3 FM and KTAR.com. The Think Tank.
Oh, you couldn't avoid it. The Comb-Over Express just came racing through the Valley of the Sun. And Donald Trump is leading the Yes, I said it. In some polls, Donald Trump is leading the Republicans. Let's talk about Trump. Let's talk about the Republican race. Let's talk about the Dems. Let's dive into this today right here on The Think Tank. We have a celebrity right here in studio, a real celebrity from Channel 10. Political reporter Steve Kraft is here, ladies and gentlemen. All right. He can class up the joint is what he's doing.
Okay. That's one introduction.
That's quite enough of that.
We have a second guest.
And I'm not wearing a tie though.
An entirely different and more appropriate introduction for this guest, if we will hit it. The other guest on The Think Tank this afternoon is Steve Goldstein. Steve will elucidate with great articulate and resonant tones.
I didn't bring my Coltrane records with me, Mike. So,
Well, they started that in the middle. They kind of threw me there.
Steve, I feel bad that I didn't have music for yours. All I had was some applause.
Where are the tunes?
Steve will speak slowly and authoritatively, so that it will have great significance. Steve is host of K Jazz here and now on local NPR station. Welcome.
Thank you, Mike.
We're going to talk politics and the storm that hit Phoenix this week. It was in the name of Donald Trump. Who's Donald Trump and why did he come to Phoenix? Mostly, why did everybody know? By the way, just a little factoid. You know, they did a survey on all the political candidates. There's 2% of the population does not know who Jeb Bush is. You know what that number is for Donald Trump?
Give up.
Zero.
Yes.
100% name recognition more than the brother of the former president, governor of Florida, and Republican front runner. But he never ran a television show. So why does Donald Trump trek to Phoenix almost first thing he does?
Really, why not? I mean, this is a perfect place for him to go. We're a border state. That's his signature issue. He has really made his mark in this race with the outrageous comments, which a lot of people agree with. I guess he doubled down, tripled down on them. About Mexican undocumented or / illegal immigrants being rapists, being criminals, and some of them are nice people, I guess.
Yeah, qualified. Yeah, I presume. Yeah.
Well, this is a place where there are a lot of people who agree, and so he was on friendly turf. He's near the border. It's enormously significant. Joe Arpaio has a big constituency here, and they're kind of allies. They both doubted the president's birth certificate, right? Mm-hmm. So it's a place where he knew he could get a really large crowd.
I don't think it was a plan, though. I don't think this was planned ahead. I think he had that reaction from his announcement, and then he said, Arizona's where I need to be. He saw where he was polling, what was hottest in that speech, and then he went right to Arizona.
Although, Dr. O'Neill, as you said, because he has 100% name recognition, he's the type who could draw a crowd anywhere. Steve, I think if people actually care about those issues— I think you're right, but I wonder how many of those people were just there because he's a celebrity and people want to see him. What's he going to say other than what he's already said?
But the difference was the people in this crowd were overwhelmingly supportive. So if he draws that big crowd and he's in L.A. or he's in Chicago, he's going to get a lot of blowback. Here he got a lot of applause. He got a lot of cheers. I mean, people really enjoyed him here.
I'm not sure if Kim Kardashian is 35 years old or not, but I wonder if she would get the same kind of crowd because when people see a celebrity, oh my gosh, I'm so excited to meet this person and see what they actually have to say. It's not just this figure on television.
It's certainly true that Donald Trump has excited the electorate in the way that no candidate heretofore in this cycle has done.
I think it's because he resonates in some level with everybody. I don't care whether you hate him, you're Republican, Democrat, doesn't matter. There's some slice of you that you can relate to Donald Trump with, whether it's the crazy drunk uncle that comes over for Thanksgiving, whether it is the racist guy down the street, whatever it is. There's something that, I know this guy.
But you know something? He's enormously likable.
Yes.
When you're sitting and listening to him or you're a few feet away from him doing a media gaggle afterwards, as I was, for a guy who's as allegedly rich as he is, most people hate rich people somehow. If you're not rich yourself, you're kind of
love hate.
Love hate, right? But a lot of kind of everyone seems to like this guy. The more he brags about how many billions he's worth, the more people are going, yeah.
Not to parse words too much, but he's charismatic. That's undeniable. Yeah. Likeable, I think, is a tough one because he's got that sort of abrasiveness to him. But there's no doubt that people are drawn to him, in part because they want to hear what he's going to say, because it might be outrageous, it might be interesting. He's got that, you know, people want, none of us wants to get fired, but I think all of us, if Donald Trump came up to us and said, you're fired, we would all laugh about it.
You're fired.
Yeah.
So tell us, how was it? You were a few feet from him, a little more intimate kind. How were your impressions different about the persona?
He is so incredibly unfiltered. He's one guy who just will say whatever he wants to say, and he's so free compared to everybody else. And he doesn't couch anything in like, should I say this or shouldn't I? He just says it. And at this moment, at least in this political season, that is very refreshing to people. Even people, like you say, who may not particularly agree with him, they just enjoy having someone just talk that way.
You know, a few months ago, who seemed to fill that bill was Chris Christie.
Right.
And then the tough guy thing kind of ran a little thin after a while.
Well, he slowed down a bridge, and then they said he's not qualified to be the president. But let me ask you back to Trump here. To Trump's point of his celebrity, is it, when you say it's refreshing, is it refreshing just because it seems like we're watching a TV show? Or is this really a call to the rest of the pack, whether it's Republicans or Democrats, you better start saying what's on your mind. You better start giving us a little bit of straight talk.
It's both.
Okay.
It's both. It's very diverting just sitting there and listening to him dish, which he did about half of his appearance, about The Apprentice, about ESPN, about NASCAR.
He is a salesman.
Univision, all the people who have dumped him, about the Miss America pageant and all these, or Miss USA, I should say, pageant, all these other things that he's dealing with. Macy's won't carry his cologne anymore. He's mad about it. So that part was funny, just hearing him talk about what it's like to be him. Mm-hmm. He's a cartoon character.
Well, if we look at voter turnout, too, it's very low. So a lot of people who care about the issues, if you want to put, like, who really wants to hear John Kasich, the governor of Ohio, talk about why he vetoed a certain bill, or Bobby Jindal, why he did something? Yeah, these are politicians. These are average folks.
Mm-hmm. They're folks whose neck recognition is in single digits, among other things.
Exactly. Trump's the closest we've had to Ross Perot, who was this character who had these ideas that people... I mean, the guy actually said, I'm all ears. Ross Perot made fun of himself, and Trump, I think, is kind of willing to do that. People want to laugh along with him.
I haven't heard a self-deprecating hair joke yet, though, have you?
He loves his hair. No, he's not going to. He won't knock that. He loves him some
him. He told us how he does his hair.
Yes.
Remember that? He said he washes his hair. He doesn't blow dry it. He lets it dry naturally. It takes like an hour every day.
Could you imagine what that looks like? What a mess that would be when that unravels.
And he arranges it, and then he quaffs it.
We'll end on that. Steve Kraft and Steve Goldstein is here with us. We're talking Republican race next on The Think Tank.
The Think Tank, KTAR News on 92.3 FM and KTAR.com.
Okay, we are here with Steve Goldstein, Steve Kraft. Question, we're going to talk Republican politics. A cast of seemingly thousands or 16 announced candidates, not counting even a couple of very marginal ones. Who's serious? Who's the serious candidates in the group? Who's first here?
To me, the two Florida candidates come to mind, former Florida Governor Jeb Bush and Florida Senator Marco Rubio. Rubio's been able, he's got that great backstory that people want to hear, coming from, I don't want to call it a refugee situation, but an immigrant situation. He's very conservative, and yet on immigration, he sort of tried to play both sides. He was part of the Gang of Eight. And Jeb Bush, of course, the name recognition, and he's seen as someone who could win the general. Now, can he win the Republican primary? I don't know.
I'd add Scott Walker. I think he's a serious candidate. Mm-hmm. I'm not going to put Donald Trump on that list. Sorry.
Yeah, interesting because he's either second or first in the current. And I'm absolute total agreement with you.
But he wouldn't win any primaries. He wouldn't win a primary.
He's the flash in the pan.
Yeah.
He's arguably number one right now, but there's 16 candidates. Nobody's paid much of attention to any of the other ones. He dominates the news. And so, of course, in a field of 16, for him to get up to maybe 12-15% makes him number one, but it doesn't make him electable.
And I think we only have maybe three. I mean, would you put Ted Cruz there? I wouldn't. Rand Paul? No, I wouldn't put him up there.
What about, as a long shot, what about Carly Fiorina, the only female candidate, former CEO? Is she someone that could gain some ground with folks who want to see, or is she more of a VP candidate, maybe?
I think she's auditioning for vice president. Mm-hmm. She's never won an election. I mean,
I got my candidate, by the way. I think I got the VP picks.
Oh. Really?
Yeah. Susan Martinez.
Oh, Susana Martinez of New Mexico.
Yeah.
She could well be it.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
Unless unless it's, say, Marco Rubio, then you don't need to double down.
Right. But a woman, Hispanic, popular governor. We like governors more than senators. And has that sort of demographic kind of hook.
She could be. Maybe Nikki Haley.
Yeah.
You know, she's gotten a lot of prominence lately.
We've definitely got the Republican females in there, I think.
Yeah. I mean, it's a big field, but I don't think there are a lot of serious contenders. It's going to be a really chaotic scene when they have the debate.
Well, it comes to mind, too. Mike, you've been doing polls for decades, and I wonder what makes people think. I mean, Donald Trump is doing this, even if he lost Macy's and he lost some others, he'll get other sponsors. Mm-hmm. He'll work it out.
Sure.
And he's a famous guy.
You're not going to find him in a bread line.
Yeah,
here.
This doesn't matter to him either way. But what about some of these people? What are they thinking? Why are they running? Have you ever looked into what goes on in the brains of these people? Because my joke used to be that, okay, I'm going to run for Congress because, you know, my friends told me I should run for Congress. It's like you're at a party and everyone's drunk and they say, well, they think I'm funny. I'm going to be a stand-up comedian. It just doesn't jibe.
Well, you remember in Arizona history, there was a fellow that ran for attorney general. I don't have a prayer, but it'll be good for my law practice. It was Bruce Babbitt, right? And then the Republican he was up against got embroiled in some sort of scandal. And then you had a governor resign and a secretary of state die. And all of a sudden, he's governor of Arizona, subsequently ran for president. Sometimes, you know, you have to be in the race for lightning to strike. I think the more candidates you get, you got 16 in, everybody says, well, you know, look at this crowd. It seems thin in terms of credentials and prominence, and say, every governor and every senator can say, hey, look, I can compete with this crowd. Maybe I'll get lucky. And if I only get a little bit lucky, maybe I get VP.
It doesn't hurt. What's the downside? There is no downside.
Right. I mean, in contrast to the Democratic side, when you have Hillary Clinton, who looks dominant and scares off everybody else, almost everybody else, who says, you know, she'll crush most anybody, you have a dominant candidate, that suppresses the field.
But you have like a Bernie Sanders, and Donald Trump and the Bernie Sanders, same thing, because they don't really need this at all. They don't need a presidency. There's nothing that they could be offered to go away.
I don't want to get too far to Bernie because we're going to do the next segment on the Democrats, and we'll get to him.
You started it with Hillary. It's your fault.
Yeah. Fair point. I don't want to preempt ourselves.
Well, Republicans have always, at least in recent years, have been the ones where they had kind of the anointed person. Nobody thought Bob Dole would beat Bill Clinton, but here's Bob Dole because he served his time. Mm-hmm. You go to George W. because he had next in line.
Texas,
sure, and then John McCain, even though because of what happened in 2000.
Romney.
So is there that Republican?
I think 2016? Jeb is that guy.
Okay. I think so.
But the question is that pattern going to hold? Because there's sort of been this resurgent right that is increasingly demanding their guy, and he's catered to them to some extent, but not 100%. And they seem to want 100%.
The resurgent right needs to coalesce behind one person.
Yep.
And I think that's what this first debate, the first couple debates, the next one on September 16th, mm-hmm. that will winnow the field, I think.
I think the other thing you have is you've got two pieces of the right. You've got the conservative economic right, mm-hmm. and then you have the religious right. That's the Huckabee Santorum wing. One of those guys is going to stick around for a while. I've always said that it becomes 2.5 candidates. One of those guys is the half. He's not going to win, but he is going to have staying power.
Well, someone had a great line that said a lot of these candidates are sort of trying out to be the next Fox News host. As sort of Sarah Palin settled in there, Huckabee's had that show off and on.
It makes sense.
Yeah, it makes sense.
Not a bad gig.
And by the way, I'm sure missing Sarah Palin. I'm missing Sarah Palin in this race. I was hoping that she...
You're going to have to work for a living this time.
She was great.
Yes.
A Trump-Palin ticket would be dynamite.
And I'm sure we're going to get to it in the next segment, but what would be even better is Joe Biden. So as long as Joe Biden stays around
Joe Biden is making little motions about maybe going to get in.
See, and that would make me so happy. That would make all of us so happy.
No way.
He's just golden. He's just golden. It is. But going back to this field, the Republican field right now, obviously, really, it's a light field. It really is. Jeb's pulling away from the pack. Did anyone see Trump sticking around this long? When I remember he made his announcement, and I didn't think he'd poll this well. We made a mockery of it on the day he did.
We're still 5 months away, though, from the first caucus. And do you even think he's going to survive? Do you think he will hold out long enough? Or will he see Christmas time? So really?
Sure, why not?
Because I think it's going to bore him at some point, where he's going to say, I mean, I've got to go to actually talk. I'm going to go to a barber shop in Iowa.
Trump is not going to do that.
He may not campaign in Iowa, right. But he's certainly going to run.
But some of those New Hampshire voters get really bitter, apparently, if you don't show up for dinner.
Visit
their restaurants.
Right.
So
the old joke, who are you going to vote? What do you think of this? I don't know. He's only been over to dinner twice.
The larger question is how much damage he does to the Republican brand. And whoever eventually gets a nomination, does that residual insult and damage last?
And the lack of willingness of most Pataki took him on. Most candidates have been very muted in that they're afraid to take him on.
Mm-hmm. They are not touching it. And some of them have actually come out in support of him. Ted Cruz says he supported him mm-hmm. on his comments. But how much damage does it do to Jeb Bush, for example, if he does get the nomination? He's worked so hard to get support from Latinos. And then you have this big shadow of Donald Trump hanging over the party.
Well, and you have a convention that has a lot of folks in there who feel that way and will be vociferous about it. That's going to be a messy visual.
Yep. Now, my favorite possibility as a member of the media, not as a citizen of America, is this idea that Trump likes it so much, he gets this traction, and he decides to go third party on us, and he splits the vote, and we see...
That's a nightmare scenario for the GOP.
And that's why I think they're playing kid gloves with him, because they're terrified at that thought.
Yeah. That's a long
Not
shot.
That he would win, that he would absolutely give the election to the Democrats.
It's funny, I was at a bar last night, and I made that exact bet. I made a bet. Cooper Rummel right here at KTAR.
You're saying he's
that's
do
going
it?
No, he said that's going to do it. I gave him 5-1 odds. Said it's not going to happen. That's too far of a long shot. You think so, maybe?
I think he might do it out of spite if he feels like he's been disrespected by the party. That's why they have to be so careful. Yeah. He's radioactive to them.
All right, we're on a hard break. More on the Democrat side coming up next.
The Think Tank. KTAR News on 92.3 FM and KTAR.com.
Okay, we're back. Steve Goldstein, Steve Kraft. Democratic side, is Hillary inevitable?
Yes, she's inevitable.
She's inevitable, but I don't think that's a good sign for the Democrats or for the country. I think she failed pretty miserably 7 years ago, thinking she was the front runner. And now she's 7 years later, more baggage from Benghazi, whether that's a real thing or not. If she had left Secretary of State before Benghazi happened, she actually had a pretty good record. I mean,
not only a pretty good record, if you go back and roll the tapes of Republicans in Congress singing her praises about what a phenomenal job she has done as Secretary of State when it looked like she was going into retirement. I think that's the critical value. And then all of a sudden, because the assumption was when she lost in 08, that's it, it's over. You know, she's not going to be president. She ran, you know, she had the Senate. She Secretary of State was going to be her capstone career move. And then she would be too old. Well, you know, modern medicine, some of our folks are getting older and frankly, they're doing okay. And then, you know, the rumblings are, well, I'm going to make another go of it. And then all of a sudden the knives came out.
How many times can you reinvent yourself? I mean, we joked about in the past of every politician, whether it's McCain on immigration, whether it's John Kerry on almost everything, there's the flip-flop aspect of things. Mm-hmm. And she has just tried to reinvent herself so many times.
And reintroduce herself so many times.
Remember, she was the cookie-baking first lady, and then she became the hard-hitting senator.
I'm not going to sit here and bake cookies. And basically,
and then she had to reinvent when she did a spread for, I forget what it was, Home and Gardens or something like that. She had to reinvent, and she's done that several times.
Well, let's talk about how Bernie Sanders is going to push
her.
What does it mean?
That's the real big question.
He's got this big rally coming up.
Bernie is appealing to a significant chunk of the Democratic electorate that has a much more emotional attachment to him than to Hillary.
I think Howard Dean used to call them the Democratic wing of the Democratic Party.
These
are people who feel like Hillary has drifted to the right. She's been accommodationist with Republicans, with Wall Street. She's forgetting about the struggles of working class people.
Militarist. She would have had the nomination of 08 had she been willing to say, I made a mistake on the Iraq vote. Mm. She thought she didn't have to do that. She was afraid of being outflanked on the right in the general.
And she's so paranoid of like harmless media types like all of us.
Exactly.
She's scared of us.
No reason for that at all.
Bernie Sanders, to me, though, is like the charismatic stand-in for Elizabeth Warren, the Massachusetts senator, who is this book-smart person, knows all the issues, goes after the big banks, but really listening to her on the stump is not exciting. But Bernie Sanders can sort of bring up those very liberal issues and sort of have what she doesn't have and challenge Hillary in that sense, I think. I think she's kind of the stand-in.
And I think that she is, he rather, has provided some actual content for the Occupy Wall Street, Occupy Phoenix, Occupy fill in the blank. There's just this free-floating anger and anguish, and he's finally sort of come up with a plan. Okay. I feel your anger. Here's what I'm going to actually do. And people are coalescing around it.
His fundraising doesn't match hers, but it's impressive.
Yeah, it is.
And the number of donors is particularly impressive.
And can he bloody her up enough to really hurt her in the general?
Or toughen her up enough.
Oh, okay.
I mean, that's
so
another way.
So he can actually help her.
I think so.
Okay.
I think that...
Is he going to take it to her in a debate? Is he really going to get after it?
He hasn't done it to this point at all.
Yeah, I think there's that danger is that he's afraid that a Chris Christie or even a Jeb Bush could win the general election if Hillary's too bloody. I think Democrats are afraid of that, the idea that you're going to make the Republican that much stronger.
So you're saying that he's sort of a sparring partner for her.
Doesn't it feel that way? It sort of feels like there's sort of a...
And I think there's an ideological motivation. I think he'd like to nudge her a little bit to the left.
Yeah, definitely.
And the weakness that she has in the Democratic primary is has she become too corporatist and too militarist? Mm-hmm. And she's not going to change completely, but can you nudge her just a little bit? Get some commitments on policy.
Doesn't the U.S. Democratic Party now look a little bit like Arizona's Democratic Party, which is that's your bench? Wow. Hmm. You're a little thin right there.
They are thin.
Yeah. Yeah. When Fred DeVal ran for governor, the idea was, can we get someone to compete with him? And no one really wanted to.
Yeah.
Sure.
I mean, who is there after Hillary? I mean, we haven't even brought up Martin O'Malley. Mm-hmm. We haven't brought up Lincoln Chafee.
They're not. I think they're asterisks.
They're like George Pataki.
Yeah. I mean, they're not third tier. The Democratic game is Hillary and Bernie Sanders, and they're not on equal playing field, but he's a factor.
So who's the VP candidate for Hillary?
Ooh. Ooh.
I'll give you a suggestion.
Go for it.
Julian Castro.
Oh, yes.
Yeah. The guy who's currently the Secretary of Health and Human Services, I believe it is.
Yep. Can Bill Clinton run as a running mate? Because she could use that charisma a little bit on that.
Or is it housing and urban development? I'm not sure exactly what it is.
Let me ask this, and I've asked Doc this before, and I'll pose the same question to you guys about Hillary. We mentioned Chris Christie earlier, and Chris Christie seemed to be one of the front runners going into this thing. Like, he's got this guy. Then he slowed down a bridge. Okay, whether it was him, whether it was not, he slowed down a bridge. Now he's just gone. Hillary, we talked about Benghazi, we have emails. How do these things just bounce off of the woman and she's still now the front runner and basically she will be the Democratic nominee?
I don't see them bouncing off her in the general. But now what is the excitement to talk about? And Benghazi, again, is seen as this congressional thing. Like people like Daryl Issa, who a lot of people think is a little bit crazy, and he's one of the people sort of going after her. It looks like payback as opposed to something that people really care about. Now, when you think about the fact that people were actually killed in the embassy, but then you think, well
she... What is it that there's... The point is, you have to come up with, what is it that she did that was wrong?
And in
Where's
that bumper sticker kind of statement, too, and it's hard because most voters just want it out there like it was her fault, and this happened, and that's it. You don't really want that deep explanation.
But if you're wondering why things don't stick to her, how many scandals have been attached to her allegedly, going back to Vincent Foster, going back to Whitewater, back to anything. Yeah. I mean, people who don't like Hillary don't like Hillary.
Sure.
This is going to be a turnout election, and we're going to be battling over which side does a better job of turning out voters and identifies
like the last two.
Exactly.
Like the last two.
Who has the better ground game?
If you look at the political map, I look at 08 and I look at 12, I look at 16. I see more or less the same map. I see 9 states that are potentially in play. The other 41, they're already decided. And essentially we know that map favors the Democrats, that the Republicans have to do a near sweep of the 9 swing states, which they will get in a wave year. But that's a tough haul for them.
And that's why what Trump said, angering a lot of Latino voters, even though it's a long time until the election, is enormously significant to me when it comes to getting a key constituency out in close states.
Colorado, Florida,
Nevada.
No Republican wins without winning Florida.
Right. True.
No,
true.
I can't work that arithmetic.
And other Midwestern states have a lot of Latino voters. Ohio has plenty of Latino voters. Mm-hmm. I mean, it's an important thing. For him to say that really was very destructive.
So how much of a role does Citizens United play then? Because you've got the Koch brothers already saying, what are they going to spend, $900 million? You've got certainly most of the money's on the Republican side. Mm-hmm. I mean, Hillary can raise money, but beyond, she's not going to be
It's not in that level.
Right.
Yeah. So she's going to get outspent.
So do you put all the ads in the swing states? I mean, knowing that Republicans are going to win.
Absolutely.
Right. Mm-hmm. So it does that make a difference? I mean, do you convince enough voters that way?
I don't think ultimately it does. If you have enough money, you have enough money. And after that, there can be a diminishing returns
point. I think a presidential election is the one that is least susceptible to being purchased because there's, as you say, there's if somebody's got a billion, if you got a measly 500 million, you can compete. That's right. 2-1. You can't beat 20-1 or 10-1, maybe not. But 2-1, you're in the game. Everybody pays attention. If you're running for state legislature, money will win.
Yeah.
Every time.
I agree. And of course, there's so much media, free media.
Yeah. It's not like we're not going to know who the candidates are and where they stand. In fact, sometimes that extra media means that you rerun that same ad that we've seen 20 times and are sick to death of seeing. We're going to hear it another 20 times. No effect.
I don't want to take people too far behind the curtain, but Mike Russell off air mentioned Joe Biden. We haven't mentioned Joe Biden
yet.
That's
right.
Let's talk
Joe
about
Biden.
Him.
Please. We have about a minute left. So let's talk about Joe Biden. Is he going to get in?
No.
No.
I don't think so.
Period.
I think he's got very obvious personal reasons that maybe this isn't where he wants to go right now. He said tragedies touch his family.
Could he win if he did?
No.
Okay, I'm with you.
I just don't think so.
He's so much fun.
If one of these scandals stuck and there was something severely negative about Hillary, then I think he would probably be the logical successor, but not as long as she's a prominent candidate.
But have we seen a two-term vice president be this sort of tossed away as someone, oh my God, this guy can't possibly run for president? Because it seems to be a thing. I mean, Dick Cheney didn't want to. He had health issues. But most people who are VPs for that long really want to. And you know Biden wants to run again.
Well, he was almost tossed away in the last election.
I think it's really a shame. If you go back to his career in the Senate, foreign relations and all, this was a very, very respected guy who got tagged with this gaffe kind of thing. And I think it was kind of a shame. It was kind of like the tag that was done on Gerald Ford being awkward. This guy's a varsity Michigan athlete.
Yeah.
It was a lousy, but it's done. But once it's on Saturday Night Live, you're dead.
Yes. Just to bring us briefly full circle, I would love to see Donald Trump against Joe Biden though in a debate.
Oh my, perfect. We're going to have to end on that. Steve Kraft, Steve Goldstein, thank you so much for being here. We really appreciate it. Doc and I'll tie a bow around this one when we get back.
The Think Tank. KTAR News on 92.3 FM and KTAR.com.
All right. Wow. I guess you had to be named Steve or Mike to get in the door today. We appreciate Steve Kraft, Steve Goldstein for stopping by. We went through a lot there. Obviously, we covered Trump. We covered the Republicans. We covered the Dems. Look, I think that Donald Trump is surprising people more than anything. And I mean, when I say people, I mean us. I did not think he would have this big of a splash coming in.
And I think splash, though, is the right word. Let me introduce an old factoid from 4 years ago.
Okay.
The Iowa primary Republican side, there were about 8 candidates. At one point in or another in the electoral cycle, every one of them was first, briefly.
Okay, right.
I think this is Donald Trump's moment.
Okay.
And I think it may last a little bit simply because of some arithmetic.
Yeah.
16 candidates. He's getting all the attention. You can't help it. It's like a car crash. You got to watch
it.
He's
awesome.
And so, and 100% recognition. And most of these other guys, how many people of our audience, we got a pretty good, smart, how many people know who Bobby Jindal is?
I would say a good bet. There's some recognition, but not to the Trump extent, of course.
Right. He hasn't been. Bobby Jindal hasn't been in your living room repeatedly,
Over and over. And being over. Mean to people.
So when there's 15 candidates and he's 15%, that makes him number one. But when you get down, what always happens in this electoral cycle, you go through Iowa and New Hampshire, you get down to, I say, 2.5 candidates, 3 candidates.
Right.
My 2.5, I'm saying one of them, there'll be one of them in there, and that'll probably be the religious right candidate who will not win but has a strong following so that they'll have staying power. That's the half.
Okay.
And there's a incredibly compelling thing. And we've got all these primaries scheduled, but that 16 number is going to get massively reduced very, very quickly. If he gets down to being what, in a head-to-head, Trump gets killed by Bush or almost anybody else.
Absolutely. Here's the deal.
By the way, and there's the polling figures is, he's like he's got 15% for him, but he's got more than 50% said they would never vote for him.
So
he has a top off.
Sure. He's not going to be the president of the United States. We know this. Yeah. We know he's not going to be the president of the United States. But I think what is refreshing, and I don't think this is what we're talking about here, and this is not a slight on our president. You know my feelings, but this is not a slight on our president. In the 08 election, the United States of America elected a president that we knew darn near nothing about. We knew talk about no name recognition. Guy gave a speech at the DNC the round before, and that was really all the country knew about him. And his background, his transcripts. We still to this day don't know a lot about him. Here we got Donald Trump, who everyone knows everything about. He is an open book of open books, and we know what's going on with Don. I think it's refreshing.
We do have a penchant for new, and that's why I think you have all of these. A long list of Republican candidates who say, I can be that new guy. The Rubio. We don't know much about Rubio, who's relatively new, but he's got an interesting bio and that's attractive. Mm-hmm. So, he thinks he can be that guy. Walker thinks he can be there. There are a lot of those candidates who are relatively, Bush is older on the scene only because of the family connections. As an individual,
sure.
He hasn't really been out there, but, we think of him as old.
Like, no one can talk about no one outside of Florida, I think, could intelligently talk of his record as the governor of Florida.
Right, right.
Or many people even know he was the governor.
If his last name wasn't Bush, he would be like all the other candidates. Somebody was a governor, and governors are credible candidates, but we don't really know that much about him. And, they always get to write this fictional story about how the incredible things that they did in their state. You had Romney's Massachusetts miracle. You had and lots mm-hmm. of people who are claiming, who will be able to fudge figures to claim something like that in their states. They think that they can turn that into an attractive narrative. And why not give it a shot?
We talked about voter turnout. And we talked about just pushing who's got a better ground game, is what Kraft said. And I agree with that. Voter turnout, how will it impact voter turnout when we hear Bush v. Clinton? We hear another Bush-Clinton election. How will that impact voter turnout? I cringe at the thought, honestly, just to hear that.
Well, it will have a certain eye-rolling effect, and you can predict what people say. From all the people that we could have chose from, we're going,
How does that impact turnout?
It probably won't happen.
Really?
No.
You don't think so?
At the margins, with people who aren't going to vote anyway, will roll their eyes and say that. But we got presidential turnout in the 60%. I don't think it'll be marginally different from that, with them or without them, frankly. Those numbers have held up, save 1% or 2%.
Predict it. Is it going to be Bush-Clinton election?
If that would, of all the scenarios, that would be the most likely.
Yeah.
Okay. Now, I'd be more certain on the Clinton side of that.
Oh, yes. Yeah, I think so. It's safe.
I mean, there's talk about, there's the Koch brother primary, which is, and there's discussion, are they going to pour massive money into Walker? If they do, they could turn that one. I look at the money right now. I look at the $114 million that Bush has. Nobody has anywhere near that.
Yeah.
Okay. Cruz, 50. By the way, that's significant.
Okay.
But
right.
I don't see him getting the nomination.
No. Not that Cruz.
I want to see whether the big money moves to Walker, in which case you might get a head-to-head Walker-Bush kind of race.
Would Walker take – I don't think Walker could win in a general. I honestly don't. I think right now he's a one-trick pony. He's the guy that took on the unions.
Took on the unions.
And do you want that fight going into a general? Do you want to be that guy? I'm the one that's going to take down the unions? Talk about Hillary fundraising at that point. It's going to just be a landslide of money.
Well, but the Republicans are, as was pointed out by our guest here, the Republicans will out-fundraise her. She will be outgunned, but she'll have enough to be in the game. That won't be a determinative factor.
I would say if Walker is the Republican nominee, I would say that changes a lot of Hillary's fundraising. I think it ramps it up.
Oh, you get some money from unions.
Yes, you will.
But you know what? When you got guys who can write a $900 million check, check.
She does
three
too.
Or four
and
guys.
She does too, and his name's George Soros. Yeah. We know this.
He doesn't fund at 10% of the level. He's a wealthy, but he has not funded a fraction.
We talk about the Koch brothers often. Yeah. If you have the money, you want to put it in there. That's what you want to do. God bless you. Go for it. But they didn't make that kind of money backing non-winning horses. But, so that's why it surprises me that they would go to Walker.
That the money that's available at the big money is not symmetrical. Yes, there is big money in the Democratic Party, but it's not at the same level.
And what I'm saying is if Walker is the nominee, it changes that equation a little bit.
It'd probably pump up some of the unions,
but
I don't think they can raise money at the same level.
What else does Walker have to point to but I took on the unions?
Well, that's been his mantra. Yeah, I'm going to cut back. I'm going to cut government. I'm going to do it by undercutting public employee unions.
What's Hillary's stance? What's Hillary? Because she's being very quiet right now. She's being very well. No one can hear. No one can speak over Trump. So I'm not slighting her for that. But we can't hear. What is she running on?
You know what? In terms of her quiet period, I think what her concern is, and you already alluded to this in this Bush v. Clinton thing. I think she's concerned about people being sick to death of hearing from her. And so I think her quietness on the national stage is trying to avoid overexposure. That won't last.
I'll disagree with you on that. She just wants to stay quiet and out of trouble.
She's not going
to. That's smart. It's a genius move.
Well, it's fine
brilliant
for now,
move.
But it's not. I mean, in the next 6 months, she's going to have to come out big time. So that's right. So in other words, that's going to go away as a concern because it's not going to happen. If she come out and she was all Hillary all the time right now, 6 months from now would be sick to death of her.
I agree.
So she's got a more. She doesn't have to worry about getting exposure. You know, Bernie Sanders will be out there because he'll take every piece of media he can get. Apropos, likewise, most of the Republicans, there's no dominant Republican short of Trump. I mean,
he's the alpha Republican right now.
And he may get overexposed at some point, too, where people have heard. I think that was the Christie thing, by the way. I don't think it was just the bridge. He was out there and he has this, I'm this New Jersey tough guy and we kind of like that. And then after a while, it just kind of wore a little thin. And then the bridge thing sort of fed into that. You're just a little rough around the edges, and that's the way you treat people. And we don't, that wasn't right. You know, it's more thin.
Okay.
The act wore thin.
Okay. All right. But here's the deal. I don't hear what any of them are running on except Trump. That was my point in that. Trump, I know what Trump's running on.
Yeah, that's why he's number one.
Okay.
Because you say Trump.
I don't know what Trump's running on. I don't know what Hillary's running on.
I'm anti-Mexican, whatever. I mean, that's, you grasp that instantly.
Yes. And I'm telling you, here it comes.
Yeah.
All right.
Yeah.
I'm sorry. This is the second time I've heard it. It just makes me happy.
Yeah.
Look at that. Doc O'Neill. The sweet sounds of Doc O'Neill jazz. I like that, buddy. This is your song. I'm going to keep saying it every time. Your song. Doc did it. Hey, big thanks to the Steves, both Goldstein and Kraft, for being here. And Doc, thank you. Thank you to the entire KTAR News staff. Thank you for spending some time with us. It's the Think Tank, KTAR News.